From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, authors of the new book, Renewing You, A Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan. Well, let's now rejoin Hank and Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe in their conversation.
One of the things I love about your book is there are sections of the book that are so simple to apply. So, for example, you have a first 15 method. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, that's kind of trite. 5 minutes to read the Bible, 5 minutes to pray, 5 minutes to read books that can help you grow in your faith. And people say, 15 minutes, my goodness, you could set a bigger or a higher bar than that. And yet, I love this because I've been teaching people for years and years and years to set small, attainable goals. Mm-hmm. If you set small, attainable goals, you can build on it. But if you set the bar way too high, oftentimes you never get started.
Right. That was the whole purpose, was SMART goals. You know, you sort of read about the idea that they should be realistic, they should be measurable, they should be small. You know, right. You know you've attained it when you know what it is, right? And I mean, even something, 15 minutes, it sounds like a short amount of time, but you know, I can pull up the epistle reading for the day, the gospel reading of the day, and my devotion, and then read a chapter. Mm-hmm. I can read Proverbs, and it's all before 15 minutes. I mean, I might be at the 8 or 9 minute mark at that point. Mm-hmm. And then it opens me up for prayer. So it's really what you can accomplish in 15 minutes is pretty profound, but it's really hard to fail at that, right? Because it's so simple. Anyone mm-hmm. can find, as you've always talked about, Nick, anyone can find 15 minutes.
Right. I mean, I think that it's one of those things that we purposefully made attainable. I mean, New Year's resolutions are a prime example. You know, we all start out great with wanting to do it. We have we hear in scripture, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So, you know, we start out with these great goals, but as you said beautifully, Hank, they're unattainable. So that, you know, 3 or 4 weeks into it, we are already failing. And when statistics are showing that only 6%, or in some cases 7% of Christians are actually reading their Bible every day, then it's concerning to know, then how do we try to approach it in a way that is much more attainable, where people are taking the time to truly grow? Because, you know, I mean, how else are we going to know how to deal with the things that we're going to face in life, the situations? How do I be a better husband to my wife? How do I be a better father to my children? How do I be a better priest? If I'm not reading the instructions, if I'm not reading and taking time to read the Bible, if I'm not taking time to grow in prayer.
Owner's manual.
If you're not reading the owner's manual. I mean, it's, you know, so I know it sounds, as you mentioned, almost in some ways trivial that this is 15 minutes. But it's purposeful, and it creates a discipline within the family. And as we always say, and we say this in the book, that, you know, if we don't make time for God, the enemy will make time for us. So it's, again, going back to that offensively minded faith.
Dr. Roxanne, you mentioned the book of Proverbs. I've always loved the book of Proverbs. Many years ago, I was teaching people a course called Your Memory and the Proverbs, Keys for Successful Daily Living, in a way by which people could memorize the book of Proverbs in and out of order. But at any rate, that was a bygone era, but it certainly impacted my life. The Proverbs continually washed through my mind. One of the Proverbs that you note is Proverbs chapter 4, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Guard and protect your mind." And then from this, you point out, Dr. Roxanne, that we have to have self-awareness. We have to be minding our minds. We have to become aware of the tapes that are playing in our minds. I want you to expand on that.
Yeah, I mean, we do hear from Solomon in Proverbs that we should guard our minds more than anything else, because yes, our life really does flow from it. And, you know, Proverbs is constantly speaking. Every single chapter I read, I'm just always amazed. I'm like, wow. You know, this is a handbook for psychology. It's constantly talking about discernment. It's constantly talking about wisdom. It's constantly talking about watch yourself. It's constantly talking. And so, you know, you can never open a chapter in Proverbs without learning something that you should implement for the day. Mm-hmm. It's so much about self-reflection. And so, Yes, the notion there is to tune in to your thoughts, to test them and to transform them, to bring them back in line with how we should be thinking. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, people are aware of what they feel. They are not aware of the thoughts that led up to that feeling. So this is the struggle. And that's often what I'm listening for when I listen to people speak. It's not necessarily what they're sharing, but it's who they were in describing that story that tells me what they were thinking and how they were perceiving and how they were interpreting their life that led to that feeling of being hopeless or depressed or angry or judgmental or righteous, right? And so when you make people privy to that, they actually have the ability to go in and realign themselves. It's like they discover this tool of, oh, I don't have to feel so merciless. I don't have to be so judgmental or angry. I know how to change that. And so there is such power in tuning in. I often tell people, there's a really simple tool we talk about. It's called the brain dump, where you literally just empty out your stream of consciousness with pen and paper. Hmm. And we are much less censored when writing than when speaking, interestingly enough. We access a different part of our brain so we can really see all that we're saying to ourselves. And when it's tangible and it's in front of us and it's visual, we can see how off track we've gotten. When we read it back to ourselves, you can hear it. And is that how I want to sound? Is that how I want to think about, you know, my husband or my mom or my friend? Is that how I want to be speaking to my children? What am I saying? Is that how God would want me to be speaking? Is that how he would speak to me? Mm. And when you apply the wisdom that you've just read, it becomes so paramount because you can change and step in to altering how you're thinking about something. So, and we think all day long. This is the interesting piece that people don't realize. We have more thoughts than there are seconds in the day. So at any given moment, people had more than 60 thoughts listening to the show, right? In each minute that we were on the show. And so to become aware of those is an incredible tool in discerning how you react to even the show's content, right? So there's power in stepping in. I use an example of, you know, tripping over shoes on a floor, but you know, you trip over shoes and you get angry in that moment and you start yelling at whoever's shoes they were. But really, was I angry about the shoes? Or am I really just worked up from the day? Am I angry about the shoes, or am I angry at that person who left the shoes there for something they did to me last week that I never dealt with? You know, what is it really? And we have to dig deep. That's not something we know immediately. And I even call myself out in the book on a chapter in probably, I think it was on guilt or forgiveness, where I yelled at my daughter for something she had done. And I had to really tune into myself to hear what I was saying in my mind that was feeding this sort of negative narrative that was building and becoming about her when it was really about me. But without that intentionality, we miss it completely. And we're pointing our gun at the wrong target most of the time.
I thought it was Dr. Nick that put that into the book.
No, oh, yeah, I'm sure he was listening and probably pointing, you know, make sure you write that one down.
What about our minds being hijacked by thinking errors? You list all these thinking errors that are so prevalent. Maybe just elaborating on that would be helpful to people.
Oh, sure. Yes. So for anyone who wants to read more about the thinking errors, they're by Aaron Beck, who is a cognitive psychologist. He was sort of the father of cognitive psychology, who sort of came up with these. And what he says is that we're all capable of making these errors in our thinking. But people who are depressed or anxious are likely to make them more frequently and more intensely. And so they really affect the way we end up feeling about not only ourselves, but about others. And so I would say probably one of the biggest ones to pay attention to is sort of the all or nothing filter,
right,
where,
absolutely,
you know, somebody does something wrong and suddenly we hate everything about their being. We forget anything that was ever good about them. You know, we can apply that even to ourselves, right? If we screw up on something, we become, you know, a failure. Why try at anything? And this is really where the enemy wins. I have a client I've been working with for years, and you know, she's gotten to the point where she can hear it and she can say, that's the enemy working, isn't it? Because God has this potential for her life. She's such a light. She's such a light in the world. Mm-hmm. But when she starts to doubt herself and she starts to berate herself, when she makes a mistake and she's, why am I doing this at all? I can't ever do anything right. I have no impact in the world. And it's amazing how that's where the enemy gets a foothold. You know, we hear about the Bible, don't give the devil a foothold. Well, in those all or nothing reactions that we have to life, that is where he wins. And if we don't catch it, he closes the door completely on a purpose or potential that God has set forth for us.
Absolutely.
And that's probably one of the most common. We name probably about 10 in the book, but there's a lot. And there's a lot of them. You can read them online. Mm-hmm.
What is the significance of the affirmations that you are giving to one another, even on this show? I'm listening to that and I'm thinking, wow, that's really beautiful, because as you are speaking, Dr. Roxanne, your husband, Father Nick, also a doctor, is affirming what you're saying and vice versa. And I think there's a great lesson to be learned for husbands and wives in that interaction.
Yeah, you want to start that out?
That's a great question.
I'd love to hear what you have to say about
it. Yo, 5 years of listening to each other talk about these things, I think we, you know, I would say 20 years ago when we first started this, there was a lot of questioning of things and digging deeper and will help me understand that more than there was affirmations. But over the last 20 years and sort of really understanding our perspectives and how they synergize to create sort of the whole that's greater than the sum of its parts, that's where the affirmation for me comes from.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe. Are you seeking renewal in your life during these uncertain days? Hank Hanegraaff highly recommends reading Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan. Drawing deeply from Scripture and the wisdom of the ancient church, Renewing You will equip you to grow in relationship with the lover of your soul, expel guilt, receive peace, nurture life and personal relationships, and aspire to spiritual and emotional maturity for the greater benefit of the kingdom of God. To receive your copy of Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or you can visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
If you found the last year challenging, you're not alone. In fact, millions believe that this last year has been the most brutal year of their lives. Nonstop news of COVID-19's devastation, coupled with our deepening culture wars, has wreaked havoc on our world. Sadly, many have surrendered to a life of settling when we should be soaring, resigning when we should be renewing. That's why Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan couldn't be more timely. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and the wife a psychologist, Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe provide a plan for personal renewal in these challenging times. To receive your copy of Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Dr. Nicholas Lowe is a priest and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, a clinical psychologist. In their book and in their ministry, the Lowes are a marriage of two different worlds and fields of study, uniting the fields of faith and psychology for inward reflection that leads to lasting outward transformation. For the last 10 years, Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne have worked together to help people seek the changes they want most for their lives. And they wrote Renewing You to do exactly that, Renew You. To receive your copy of Renewing You, a priest, a psychologist, and a plan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or you can visit us at equip.org. Let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe as they continue their conversation.
I would say 20 years ago when we first started this, there was a lot of questioning of things and digging deeper and will help me understand that more than there was affirmations. But over the last 20 years and sort of really understanding our perspectives and how they synergize to create sort of the whole that's greater than the sum of its parts, that's where the affirmation for me comes from, Nick. I'm not sure, like, you probably have your own take on that, but for me, when I listen to everything that he's sharing, it just fits like a puzzle together for me to create the picture. And that's probably just been an evolution of 20 years of talking back and forth about our disciplines.
And to build on what you were saying too, Roxanne, is the fact that, you know, Hank, you know, in our relationship, as I'm sure that many of your listeners can experience as well, I mean, we have grown through a great deal of hardships. Really, the impetus behind us writing this book was, not only did we feel like we wanted to give people practical Christianity, we wanted to give them some ways to apply what they were hearing on a Sunday morning and be able to apply it in their everyday life. But the real impetus behind it was that both of our dads, who were prior to March of 2014, were in great physical health. And in this time, you know, 7 years ago, they happened to both go to the doctor. One, my dad went for his endocrinologist appointment. He was diabetic, just went to the doctor to just check up on his blood sugar levels, and had a massive stroke and seizure there that they would find a couple weeks later to be cancer. That was on a Monday. And on the Thursday of that week, Roxanne's father, who went in for a typical hernia surgery, just was complaining of some abdomen pain, had surgery, and they ended up having to close him because they found again cancer. And they both would go to be with the Lord 8 months apart from each other. But what we found in that time, Hank, is that, you know, for many of us, we knew the scriptures. I mean, and I don't mean that in an arrogant way. I mean, we knew just what we had studied. We knew it cognitively. Roxanne knew her profession, you know, in a very cognitive way. But we were in many ways forced because we didn't have each other to lean on, because it was really like 9/11 moments for both of us all the exact same week. And obviously trying to raise a family and all the other things that kind of went there, and also trying to be leaders in our own families, that we had to be able to put our two ministries, and we call them ministries, not professions, but ministries, together to help us through that as we were navigating through that. So
we talked a lot about, too, I mean, trials, you know, right. Nick, I mean, let's talk about, I mean, this is such an evolution. I mean, there were many moments where this was no perfect walk through the park of, oh, well, we know all of this, we're just going to sail through. It was a lot of tears. It was a lot of deep conversations. It was a lot of, help me explain this. How do we make sense of this? What's happening to us? It is the question of every Christian of, when you do everything right, why is this hard? And why is this life hard? Why is this happening? And you learn to stop asking why me and start asking what now, God? Like, how, help me, and how do we walk through this? Being a Christian is, I don't think, was one of the things I've learned in this experience. It was never meant to be easy. We were never promised an easy life because we followed Christ. What we were promised is that he would walk through us at every step of the way, and that he would know our pain as we walked through these difficulties, and to lean on him, to never stop leaning on him, no matter what. But it was never promised to us that this would be an easy life. And there's been a lot of growing pains, and I think our marriage has probably deepened considerably in the last 5 years. God has plans that are much better than our own, and it isn't often until the other side of things that we can sometimes see the work he was doing.
Right. This was probably rather mundane in light of what you just shared, because what you just shared is worth reflecting on in and of itself. But I was thinking again about our minds being hijacked by thinking errors. And in your conversation in the last few minutes, you mentioned certain psychological paradigms or certain psychological books. And having spent a good amount of time in this area myself, one of the things I find is this problem of extreme absolutist thinking, the kind of thinking that doesn't allow for gray areas. So a lot of people, when you mention a particular psychological paradigm or psychological book, they'll immediately find the error in that book, and therefore they'll discount all of it. And in the process, they're narrowing and narrowing the filter, the frame through which they look at the world. Can you address that? I mean, obviously, you as a Christian psychologist, Dr. Roxanne, have seen a lot of nonsense in the psychological world and in psychological paradigms. But you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You can't throw water on the baby.
Yes. I think it's fear. If I could just, that's a big subject that I could probably, you know, talk about for a long time. But I think the basis of that is fear. And it is judgment and it is intolerance. You know, once we sort of make up our mind about something, we don't like inconsistencies. Our brain does not like inconsistencies. So whatever we believe, we go in with a lot of confirmation bias as well. So we tend to sort of sift through new information and say, well, if that doesn't fit with my paradigm, it doesn't fit, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the reasons our minds are not open to new tools that I do believe God puts in our lives to help us and to transform us. He's always putting, I mean, He put physicians in the life, I mean, in the disciples, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were all meant to work as interwoven fabric of humanity. We're all meant to help each other and to learn from each other. We learn from science. I'm constantly studying other disciplines and learning from what do people in this world God's put in my path have to teach me? Because I'm probably going to get something. Everyone has something to offer me and to teach me. And that's how I look at it. And it's amazing what you can learn from, you know, a simple woman walking by in a hospital room taught me so much. I think we talk about that story in the book. But, you know, we cannot live our lives in fear. We have to live our lives with an openness to be influenced by where we can grow. But I do think fear is what makes us shut the door and confirmation bias. You know, we are just not open to new ideas and new philosophies that could help.
And yet we have to test all things and hold fast to that which is good.
Correct. I mean, but even something as simple as mindfulness, right? This is a big, I would say a big trend in today's society. People are fearful of it. I've had people who tell me, well, I don't want to study my thoughts because that might strengthen them. You know, I don't want to tune in. That's a negative thought. Why would I tune into that? So because if you don't, it's going to influence you anyway, whether you know it or not. And it's just going to work more covertly. Mm-hmm. So it's actually more dangerous when you don't confront it, when you don't become aware of it, it's still operating. It just goes a little deeper and operates without your permission. So, you know, we have to be not so fearful of studying ourselves, but being willing to learn from it. And when we have the boundary of our faith, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Mm-hmm. There's so many points I want to touch on. I feel like I'm just scratching the surface. And what you're saying collectively, what you've written, I think it'll make a huge impact on the body of Christ and that for the good, so the body of Christ can make a huge impact on the world. You talk about the practice of immersing ourselves wholly in the present. And when I read about that, I immediately thought about golf. I've been a golf addict since I was 14. And in golf, we always talk about the fact that you have to stay in the present. It's cliche. If I start thinking about outcomes, you know, get into trouble immediately while I'm playing golf. And I think that's one of the problems with golf. I mean, it's played by outcome-oriented people playing a process-oriented game. This is a very important principle, to immerse yourself wholly in the present, and I think it bears elaboration.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a society and as people, we are so easily influenced by our past or by what we perceive to be the future. In some of our studies, especially that of the writings of the Church Fathers within the Orthodox tradition, they talk about how oftentimes depression happens when we dwell on the past, and anxiety forms when we're thinking about what may happen in the future. And so there is almost this belief that we need to be in the present, because if we're not in the present, we can allow our minds to kind of just go different areas and fall prey to different thoughts. And that's why I think when we hear the words, be still and know that I'm God, that you really can't know God unless you're in that stillness, in that presentness, you know. And so our encouragement, one of the things that we try to be disciplined about is wherever we're at, we try to be totally there. Because the alternative is that our minds will tend to dance and to go to different areas of our mind. And you oftentimes see people, I mean, I think all of us have found ourselves at times rehearsing a speech that we're going to have with someone in the future. And sometimes it's an audible speech that we have in our house where we're just, no one's around and we're just talking to our, you know.
Or replaying the one we've already had that, or we wish we would have said something
right,
different.
Exactly. And so it is important though, because what we're sharing, I think, and what we're scratching the surface with your listeners, Hank, is we're just showing how many different areas that the devil and the enemy, I should say, has opportunities to impact us.
We'll have to stop here for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but join us again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, authors of the new book, Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of Renewing You, A Priest, A Psychologist, and A Plan. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.